challenges. Of course, Brother Stedman has had some challenges with his health, but God's been good. I know in the last letter that I read that the last CT scan showed that he's cancer-free. We'll just be praying that it'll continue that way. They're going to be heading back to the field here shortly. They were able to come and be with their family, their kids, and everything that I mentioned a little bit earlier. But it's a blessing to be able to support them. Brother Stedman, I'm going to turn things over to you. It's good to see Mrs. Stedman, Anna here as well. And Brother, you let us know. Give us a little bit of a report on how things are going along, and then you just preach and just go at it. And amen. Thank you, brother.
All right. Yep, that doesn't look fresh. The water.
Oh. No,
nope. Morning. Amen. Well, good morning, which is good. If I was in the Philippines, I would say, "Man buntag sa tanan," which is good morning, everyone. So open your Bibles anyway to start Exodus chapter 3. I appreciate your prayers. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. I appreciate your prayers and taking the time to put some pictures up there of what we've done. That prayer card was an old one from about 2016. Yeah. You know, Caleb, I think, was 17. Andrew was 16, Emily was 14, John was 13. John's 21 now, so you can do the math yourself. I don't want to try to do it, you know. But I appreciate that. I appreciate your prayers. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 12, don't turn there. You know, children of Israel say, "We want a king," right? And Samuel don't like it, and the Lord says, "Well, they haven't rejected you, they've rejected me." And through all that, even Samuel said, though, you know, he told the people in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will show you the good and teach you the good way," you know. So even when things are not going like you thought they should, you know, you don't want to stop praying. Throughout my cancer treatment and stuff, I would run into people on the road visiting churches, people I didn't know, and they'd let me know they were praying for me. And what I thought was, well, I need to be praying for you all, and we need to be praying for each other. But it's an interesting verse when Samuel says, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." So it's good to see these men up here, prayer group, singing. I think prayer is probably one of the most neglected weapons that we are given by the Lord. And he said, pray without ceasing. You know, and we're to be praying and on prayerful ground the whole time. So again, I thank you for your prayers, your support. You've been supporting us for, well, since the beginning of our ministry, since, you know, we went over to the Philippines, first time I was able to get over here. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. The Lord talking to Moses, and he says to Moses, and he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you, God, for this opportunity, this time, Lord God. I pray, Lord, you guide me with your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, you'd help me to have some clarity of mind and speech, and that I'd be able to be a blessing to you, Lord, a blessing to these people. And I thank you, Father, for this church being a light here. I pray you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, here in Exodus, I'm kind of mix this up some before I really get to preaching, to give you an update. Kind of my health and what we've went through is my wife has been with me through it the whole time and my family. And but here in this verse, it's an encouraging verse for us. When we were in 2019, we were praying about going to another part of the Philippines, and separating from Brother Sutek, who we've been working with. And we found this place in Claveria. It's up in the mountains, about an hour and 45 minutes outside of town. And it's a elevation about 2,000 feet, 2,500 feet. One of the nice things about it, and maybe I am kind of carnal in this area, but it's about 10 degrees cooler up there than it is in Cagandoro. And so it's a little bit more comfortable. That's not why I'm going there. But anyhow, this verse stood out to my wife, and she pointed out to me, and then we went to hear somebody preach, and they went to this verse, and, you know, it was an encouragement to us, you know. And he said, certainly, I will be with thee. I mean, Moses, you know the story. I'm sure you know the backdrop there where, you know, Moses, he's been out on the backside of the desert tending sheep. You know, he fled Egypt, and then he sees a burning bush, and he steps, goes over and sees what's going on. And God starts talking to him. And he says, I'm going to use you to go free my people. And Moses is like, well, who am I? You know, and that's a missionary for any Christian. I'm sure that you should ask yourself that at times. Who am I? You know, I didn't come up with this. The greatest ability is availability, I think, and then dependability. I look at myself and I see far more people that are far more qualified than I am. I can drive a truck. I can preach. I drove a truck for 25 years. I know a little bit about mechanicing. I built trusses, but I am no means a carpenter. And I meet people that are far more talented than I am. I just made myself available. Lord put it on my heart. And, it's an encouraging thing. You know, just like God told Moses, and certainly I will be with thee, the Lord told us, he told you, that he would be with you always. Right. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. And there will be opposition. There will be things come up that will slow you down. Maybe the devil will try to take you out of the race. Saved. You know, you got saved and he can't stop you now. You're saved. He can't stop you from being saved. My favorite verses. Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor height, nor depth, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, you're secure. I mean, that verse covers it all, man. You can try to throw out whatever you want. Well, what else we know death can't separate you, right? That's clear. Death cannot, okay, nor life. What can that mean other than sometimes we're knuckleheads and we do stupid things and it's sin, but we're still his children. So he'll bring you things in life that happen. A token, you know, you get to see a token is, you know, it's something that you can see that's evident that you know, like somebody said, let me give you a token of my affection, you know. God, you know, the first time a token shows up, it's a rainbow. And God's promise that he won't flood the earth again. Another place, in the book of Psalms, it says, show me a token for good. And so, God, I'm not looking for signs. I don't put fleeces out myself. If you want to, help yourself. In this whole journey of mine, I've always just said, Lord, you show me. Show me something to encourage you, to serve you wherever I am. And poor, you know, and for my own case, you know, it was like I was praying and in Oregon before about going to the mission field. I was working out of Portland and 12, 13, it's much worse. But anyway, I was in that area and I was praying. I said, Lord, I want to go forward in this. If you're going to have me be a missionary, and I want to be able to go, you know, doubting nothing about it. And I thought in my mind, I thought, well, I think that's in the Bible somewhere. And I thought, well, is it doubting nothing or nothing doubting? So I looked it up, and it's both. In Acts chapter 10, Peter was told by the angel to go with the men that Cornelius sent, and he was told to go doubting nothing. And then when he rehearsed the matter in Acts chapter 11, and he told the rest of us, I went nothing doubting. And that was good. I was like, Lord, that's what I want. I want to go forward doubting nothing about this call to the mission field. And when I want to continue in it, nothing doubting. And I prayed that prayer, and I said, okay, Lord, I really want something from you. I don't know what. And I went to Salem, Oregon. You know, I was in Portland. My pastor, Tim Habman, had suggested I go to Pastor Brenton Hardy's church, Brandon Hardy. And I'd never met him, never been to that church, Bethel Baptist Church. And I went there to go visit. You know, it was about an hour, 15-minute drive on Sunday morning. And, you know, they didn't know me. They didn't know what I was praying about. And I went into the church there, and I met the assistant pastor, Travis Crew. And he started telling me about a recent trip he met. He went to the Philippines. You know, I didn't even tell him anything then, you know, but the Lord knew. The Lord knew what I needed. And then to top it off, Pastor Hardy gets up there and he goes, right before the offering, he goes, I'm going to do something here that I've never done before. He's going to show slides, not to get the congregation to give to missions, but to encourage them because of their faithfulness in giving to missions, they were able to help out a missionary. And it just happened to be a missionary in Mindanao at a refugee camp. Some Christians that had to flee where they were that had been persecuted by Muslims, okay? And the first slide he showed was of the Moro Islamic Liberation Front. And, you know, they were in ranks. They had their guns. That didn't bother me. I was in the Navy. I was in the Navy 16 years. 12 with my dad. I was a Navy brat and 4 on my own, okay? And so I was, you know, military family. That didn't bother me, them lying in ranks with weapons. But what bothered me was the countenance of their face, the anger in their face. All my dealings with Filipinos in the Navy, I have cousins that are half Filipino. All my dealings with Filipinos when I went on a short trip there in 2013, they were gracious, friendly, loving people. The anger and the hatred on those Filipino Muslims bothered me. And the Lord reminded me of a verse, Genesis 16:12, the prophecy of Ishmael, whom the Muslims come from. He is a wild man, his hand against his brother, and every man's hand against him. And I thought, okay, Lord. I mean, that for me was clear that Lord would have me go, doubting nothing, nothing doubting. And if I could reach some Muslims with the truth of the gospel, if I could help teach and train Filipinos, then I'll go, Lord. And so I went, you know, the Lord called me. I told my wife, she was praying about it, my pastor. My wife wasn't too keen on it. I mean, you sell your house. It was frizzy hair, right? I said, I think the Lord's calling me in the Philippines. She goes, you know what that means? Frizzy hair and squat toilets. That's a challenge. You may not, you know, they call them comfort rooms in the Philippines, right? Sometimes the comfort is when you leave. A squat toilet is exactly what it is. Sometimes a hole in the ground. And frizzy hair, my wife has curly hair, so humidity just goes, woof, will have an effect on it. And I said, well, Lord, you know, we prayed about it. And the Lord showed her. You know, so you get these tokens that you go along, what I call tokens, where God shows you something and encourages you on the way. Yeah. When my wife, you know, she's praying about going, and she goes to Walmart here and to go to customer service and exchange something that she bought or traded, I don't know, one of those things. And she's waiting in line, and there's a young man, and then he has his break, he leaves, and his replacement comes up as my wife gets there, and she's a Filipina. You know, that encourages us. You know? That's a token. And God gives you these tokens along the way. Show me a token for good. You know, and Moses was given a token that when he brought the people out of Egypt, that he would serve the Lord on that mountain. So in all these things, though, life happens. Go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 65. Psalms 119, verse 65. I'm going to read these verses through 72. Thou dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I'll keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Amen. You know, there you see in verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I kept thy word. You know, David wrote this by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and you know, you're not guaranteed, you know that, as a Christian. You're not guaranteed a smooth path and everything just go perfectly well. Time and chance happen to all men. The rain falls on the just as well. David wrote that. I don't know how he went astray. I know a few places he went astray. You know, we know that with Bathsheba. But, you know, but other than that, you know, I don't know too many places. And I didn't really look at myself as going astray. In my mind, I have. In my mind, I'll tell you what, there's times I thought, you know what, Lord, dealing with immigration, dealing with visas, dealing with air flight, dealing with this, dealing with that, I just assume go back and drive a truck and be a witness. Yeah, so in my mind, you know. But when you get a cancer diagnosis, you start to reflect and you start to think. For me, it was like, okay, what have I done wrong? Have I done anything wrong? Is it me? You know, in the book of Job, chapter 34, verse 20, Elihu says, "That which I see not, teach thou me." And he's a younger man. He hears what the older men have to say as they're trying to figure out what sin Job had done. They think he's done. They didn't know about what had happened up there in heaven with the devil when he went up there, and the Lord asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm going, you know, to and fro through the earth." And the Lord said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? He's perfect, upright, escheweth evil." And you know, they didn't know that transaction. So in their mind, you know, when you're healthy and you're prosperous, then you're blessed by God. And so when he loses everything, he loses his family, his children, his friends are thinking, "Well, what sin is it that you committed?" Yeah. And that's what you got to be careful about that. No, but that's where my mind went. That's, you know, we came back in September 2020, and then I had some health issues. I didn't know what it was. You know, you're dealing with COVID. You come back in the midst of COVID, and you think it was bad here, man. You should. In the Philippines, it was face masks and shields. And for a while, a good while, you can only go out with a barangay pass, only one person per family, to go get food. Believe me, my wife doesn't drive, and I really have no business going to the store and buying our groceries. Inevitably, I don't get what's on the list, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff that we really don't need. So anyway, I became her driver. And they let me, you know, they'd let me go through the checkpoint. There was checkpoints they'd check. They'd check you at the store. They'd check you here. They'd check you there. They'd check you everywhere. Yeah, I'm a product of Dr. Seuss when I was a kid. No. So, you know, you come through that, and you come back here, and you got, you know, it's, you know, COVID really weighs on you. It did me. I never got it that I know of. But so I come back here. I know I got some health issues, and I go to the doctor, and I have a medical procedure done, and they tell me I have stage 3B cancer, a rectal cancer. And I'll tell you the truth, right then it was just like, well, okay, Lord, I'm ready to go home. I really, I don't see any need to go any farther. I'm 60, you know, I've had a good life, and I'd seen my father go through lung cancer, stage 4. I saw him go from, he was 6'5", 250 pounds. It skipped me. All my boys are taller than me. I got the short end of the stick. My dad was 6'5", 250, and about three months he was down to 180. Praise God, he got saved before he passed on. And I saw that, and I thought, man, I don't want to go through that. I seen others go through that cancer, and I thought, I don't want to go through that. But then the Lord impressed upon me to fight. And an Army Ranger friend of mine, retired Army Ranger in the Philippines, he's married to a Filipina, and he's in Claveria. He said, well, if it was me, I'd hit it with everything I could. You know, kind of like the, you know, how you'd attack something. You know, hit it with naval bombardment, hit it from the air, hit it there, you know, just get it. And so that's what we did. You know, it's interesting, you know, like I said, a lot of times you think a affliction, you might wonder why. Why is this happening to me? What sin have I done? And it's interesting. You know, affliction shows up in the Bible 54 times. Afflicted shows up 54 times in the Bible, 17 times in Psalms, more than any other book. Affliction, 73 times. It's 29 times in the book of Psalms. David knew about affliction. I mean, how would you feel if you were anointed to be the king of Israel, then you spent about 14 years running and the king trying to kill you? He knew about affliction. He knew about fear. You know, our Lord, he knows about affliction. Isaiah 53:4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That was for us. You know, just because you're sick doesn't mean, it could be for the glory of God. Lazarus, when he was, they told him he's sick, and the Lord said, this sickness is for the glory of God. They told him, John 11:3-4, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. He, you know, never doubt God's love, no matter how sick you are. No matter what happens, God still loves you. John chapter 9, the blind man, the disciples asked, who did sin that he was born blind? His parents or him? Now, how in the world did he do that if it was him? You're born blind, he sinned in the womb. We know the Bible says they come forth from the womb speaking lies, so I know that. But and the Lord said, no, he was born blind that the works of God should be manifest in him. The works of God. I was going through five weeks of radiation therapy, 5 days a week for 5 weeks, and then oral chemo. I had a shirt a friend of ours had made and said, the struggle is real. And it had a cross on it. And it would open up conversations. A lot of people go, oh, yeah, yep, that's right, the struggle is real. But then on the backside it said, but the victory is sure. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell people, I cancer, you know what, I'm in a win-win situation. If I die, I'm with the Lord. If I live, God still has something for me to do. You know, so it's just like, here we go. Okay, Lord, you kept me alive. There must have something in mind for me to do. just crazy, man, I think. Anyway, you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. For we look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. You got to get your eternal perspective. You got to get your eternal vision. and get your eyes on that. I mean, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin the cause. Christ the cure. We have the answer. There are so many people that are out there that they're wondering. I remember one, you know, during that whole time, during COVID, I don't know if you remember when they were burning Bibles in Portland. And we had a man that came to church, and because of that, he was claimed to be a Christian, been out of church, but it disturbed him so much when he saw those Bibles being burned. I'd like to say he continued in church, but he didn't. So many people just, you know, they're not committed. You know, it seems like a death sentence. You know, I tell people, you know what? Just because I have cancer, that doesn't mean I'm gonna die before you do. What is your life? It is but a vapor. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Either way, you should be living for the Lord, and you need to get doing something for God, you know. And that's what we've been able to do, and God's given me tokens. You know, you go back to that verse, you know, I'll be with thee. This is a token that you'll serve God on this mountain. And, you know, I've been praying about where to go, and the Lord opened up places. I saw this college in Claveria. It's an agriculture college. And, you know, I'll back up a little bit. But anyway, I said, okay, Lord, I'd like to go there if that's be your will. Go have a college outreach. And then, of course, we came back here to the Philippines. I had cancer. I'm trying not to bounce all over the place. Forgive me if I am. You know, and got through treatment. And it seemed like everything was going well. I didn't have any pain. I didn't want to have the tumor removed because that would mean I'd have a permanent colostomy bag. And I couldn't imagine being anywhere. And I thought, man, I'd rather be dead than have a colostomy bag. And I've had many people tell me, I'd rather be dead than have that colostomy bag. Yeah. And I didn't want it. And I didn't have any pain. The tumor wasn't growing. And we went back to the Philippines in June 22. And by August, I started having pain. And I started having problems. As I told people, I had to know where the CRs, the comfort room, I had to know where the bathrooms were. Because I didn't have much warning. I didn't have much time. I was just like, ugh. And the pain was getting worse. And then we just, I'm going to have that. We decided when we went back, if cancer came back, we would deal with it in the Philippines, and we did. I went to a doctor. I found a doctor right off not too far where we live and was doing some stuff to boost the immune system. And then she said, well, you got to get the tumor out of there. And she suggested the surgeon, Dr. Arch Ponce, a Christian. It was good. 7 hours of surgery, December 9th. But all this time before, you know, I'm going through this. We're starting to make headway in Claveria. And, you know, August, we had an evangelistic outreach. Had a Howard Hunter, American evangelist, and Dax Barde, a Filipino evangelist. And we were able to go up there, and we were able to make that connection through a Filipino pastor. I told him the vision that God had given me to reach Claveria and the college there, and he just happened to know a person that was an instructor up there. And so he gave me her name, Imelda Hebron, and she's a teacher up there, and she wants a Baptist church up there, a good Baptist church. There's a Baptist church up there, but she didn't like the music they played. She likes the hymns. She likes the good hymns. She doesn't like the drums and the bar-like appearance. That's what I see. I don't like that either. Right. I don't want to look like this. I came out of the bar, man. I got saved, and I came out of that stinking atmosphere. Yep. I don't want to recreate that in church. I don't get that, man. I don't get that, man. The hymns, you know, speak to me. Yep. You know? I remember hearing "And Can It Be?" Yeah, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine I diffuse a quickening ray. I woke the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. My chains fell off, man. I remember singing that. I remember the little apartment I was in darkness, and there's a knock on my door. Lord knew what I was doing. I was looking. It was like Desert Storm time, you know. And there, you know, Saddam Hussein's lobbing Scud missiles at Israel, and I remember thinking, man, you know, God's coming back, and I'm in trouble. I'm going to end up going to hell if he comes back. And I had this idea. I said, well, I can't be good for any length, because I was taught that you had to be really, really, really good. You had to keep yourself safe. But yeah, God takes my good and my bad, and I knew I was in trouble. So I got this idea that, you know what, I'll find a Bible, I'll read Revelation, I'll try to figure out when Jesus Christ is coming back. And if I can get within a week or two, I might make it. So that's what I did, man. I had my beer, I had my cigarettes. I'm reading the book of Revelation, trying to make heads or tails. And there's this guy knocks on my door, an old friend. He did not know what I was doing. There's a God in heaven that knew. He saw the scene there with the Bible and the beer and the cigarettes. What are you doing? I told him. He laughed, just like you did. He said, well, you can't figure that. You must be born again. And he took me to 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Yes. He said, you can't really understand that Bible till you get the Holy Spirit. Amen. Till you get saved. And he started telling me about the Lord coming back. He said, yeah, he's coming back, but you know, he's going to get the church out of here before that. Yes. Before that great tribulation. I said, okay, Bill. When that happens, then I'll believe. He said, oh, you don't want to do that. He took me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay. You know, because they had pleasure in unrighteousness and received not the love of the truth, God himself shall send strong delusion that they might believe a lie. I was like, man. I didn't get saved right then, but I did. But I'll tell you, when I sang the first time I heard that song, long my imprisoned spirit lay in sin and nature's night, you know, I thought of that little dark apartment I was in, and when the light came into that room, by the word of God, by a witness, a testimony. Amen. Yeah, so she wants the hymns, you know. She don't want that kind of music. Amen. That's a blessing, you know. So here she is, you know, she wants a Baptist church up there, and we get going, we have a good meeting. We had about, I forgot how many. How many people we should have show up? 60. Some ROTC cadets and some people that are taking a crash course, 6-month course, on working on a dairy, because they want to go work overseas on a dairy. And that was pretty neat. I'll get more to that here shortly. But we had about 60 show up there, and, you know, right, I'll tell you what, man. I had like 2 Filipinos preach. I gave a short testimony. Then we had Dax, the Filipino evangelist, preach, and right before the invitation, that church's worship band was moved by somebody to start practicing their rock and roll music. Thankfully, Dax handled it well. And we had, you know, we probably had 30 people stand up and profess Christ as their Savior. Amen. Tried to make it understood that, you know, just, you only do this once. You only do it once. You know, you don't get saved over and over and over again. Right. Yeah. So, had a good meeting, had a good start. Imelda, she teaches this class. One of the class, she teaches animal husbandry and other things. Her name's Imelda Hebron. Pray for her. Pray for her husband, Emmanuel Hebron. And she asked me to preach to her classes. So I got to go up there. I go up there and I preach to 3 of these classes, about 20-minute message each one, to these these people that are studying they're learning how to work on a dairy. You know, it's just like, wow, that's pretty neat. And the thing is, I worked for Purina Animal Nutritional Systems for 12 years out of Spokane, delivering animal feed to dairies and ranches chicken farms. All I know, I knew I, when I didn't. Whenever I didn't have a load, I helped make the feed. I worked in the micro room. I worked in loading them. I know about. I've been to dairies as small as 40 to 50 milking cows to 1,500, and so I know a little bit about dairy. So I can talk about that and then segue into the gospel. The first message I preached was on the first murder, how a farmer killed a shepherd, and they were brothers. And that's just like Jesus Christ. His brothers killed him, and he's the good shepherd. You know, she's given us that opportunity, and we've been having church in her classroom on Sunday. Yeah, praise God. And then I had to have surgery. So we got set back about 2.5-3 months. A good friend of mine, Pastor Adrian Dominguez in Colorado, he sent me a message, said, delayed but not derailed. Yeah. And you just, okay, God, we'll keep going. Yeah. And so God's opened that door. And, you know, in the course of my cancer treatment, you know, God said he'll be with me. He'll give you tokens to show you what that he's with you and that you're on the right path. And I had to go, when I went to go meet Ponce, the surgeon, got done meeting him. It was a blessing. Got to pray with him, you know, get the things scheduled to have surgery. And I had to go to the CR, and Anna, I came back out, and she's talking to him. And he just happens to be from Claveria. I mean, there's like 8, 9, 10 hospitals in Cagliandoro, and he's at the hospital we're at. I look at that as God. You know, he hasn't been to church. I like to say, yeah, he's been to church. He says he's evangelical. We haven't, but he can't get around very well. So, and then, you know, I had surgery, but we still communicate with him. So I went through the surgery December 9th. Had a good surgeon. The anesthesiologist wasn't so good. I woke up before the surgery was over. I'm in some kind of contraption and just swaying there. I just seemed down on the, because I'm in some kind of contraption. I don't know what it was. And I'm like, hey, am I supposed to be awake? And I see some scurrying in the corner, and the next thing I know, I wake up in my hospital bed. You know, if you want to look it up, you can. I don't know if you want to. You could look it up on YouTube and watch it. I didn't do that. It's called the Miles procedure, and they had to remove colostomy bag. And the Lord's been good. He's gotten me through it. And his surgeon was good. But that anesthesiologist, he was the Baptist. And Skeptist. You know, I used to jokingly tell people, I don't know if it was a joke or not. When two of our kids, Andrew and Caleb, when they were born in Pensacola, Florida, the Catholic, born in a Catholic hospital. The way I look at it, jokingly, the Catholics are working to get to heaven, so they're going to do their job. Baptists, they're going by grace, so maybe they don't do so good sometimes. I woke up from my surgery, and I was getting no pain relief. I had an epidural, and I was getting no pain relief, and the anesthesiologist was not answering his phone. They couldn't, they didn't have a doctor on call. They couldn't just give me something through the IV. So for 14 hours, I was in intense pain, and I figured out about halfway through there that the epidural was leaking. And finally, he returned his calls, and they got me some pain relief at about 11 o'clock. Now, I spent 14 hours in intense pain. I remember thinking, this is as close to hell as I want to get. That was intense. My wife would tell you that, you know, it was one of the hardest things for her to watch someone you love go through so much pain and agony. Consider that when you think of loved ones and others that might be going to hell. You know, a suffering that won't be relieved. Yeah. But we got through it, got back up there to Claveria. In February, March, I had a CT scan, like the pastor said, and showed that I was cancer-free. The blood worked so far, so good. And we met a guy named Monaco, stage 4 lung cancer. And he... I got to encourage them in the Word of God. They're Catholic. You know, this idea that you can know that you're saved and you're going to heaven is foreign to them, because they just get, you know, you just do your best and hope for the best. And, you know, then they got this this wicked, wicked doctrine called purgatory. I'll call it, it's wicked. Yep. And the idea that, you know, and people will think that. Well, they'll think, well, you know, purgatory. I'll go to purgatory. I'll suffer. My relatives will pay enough to the priest to pray me out. That's not anywhere in the Bible, man. They got some kind of thing from Maccabees that kind of they think teaches that, but it's that ain't the Bible. To be absent from the Lord is be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. You know, you make that decision now. You know, he wanted to know more. We gave him a Bible and had, and you know, we communicated afterwards, emailed, and it was a blessing. And he happened to be from Claveria. He was a music teacher in that area. I'm thinking, wow, great, this is another connection. That's a token for me. God gives you these things to keep you going, little handfuls of purposes like you know, Ruth, you know? And I sent him a message. You know, I'd send him verses to encourage him. And I told him, I said, well, I want to come visit you. He goes, well, I'm in the hospital. Hospital in a ward about the half the size of this room. And there's about 20 other beds. And I just start witnessing to him again. I start preaching. I got notes in Cebuano, and I know a little bit. I know, one of the verses I know is "Tu unigin ugheso Christo ugi kal melawas," which is "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Yeah. When I read him Cebuano, and I preached, and I got all these people. You know, they're watching, looking at the American visiting the Filipino in the cancer ward, and I got to hand out tracts and preach to everybody there. Amen. And at the end of that meeting, I said, you know, I hope, Monaco, you know now that if you die, you'll be with the Lord. I sent him a message. I said, well, I'm going to come back to the hospital and visit you again. And his son, I can't figure this out. You know, you got Pastor DeMichael, who's been battling cancer, and Pastor John Habman's wife, and she battled cancer 10 years, and then the Lord took her home. I'd go visit her. Well, we'd go to the church and visit. And you go talk to her and try to encourage her. She would encourage you. You know, you got to. And those things are precious. It encouraged us. So some specifics you could pray for us. One is language studies. I learned because it opens the heart. Two, which is Cebuano language better. Reading an hour and 45 minutes to go to Claveria. And been looking for a place, haven't been able to find a place. A meld available at the end of July, and so hopefully we'll have that place up there that we can have around there with the truth of the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel. Yeah. Preached on the promise of God, Titus 1, 2, and 3, the life, in hope of eternal life, which God promised who cannot lie. And before I started preaching it in this one class, I said, how many of you here know if you die, you'll be in heaven with the Lord? Three or four hands out of about 30 people. And so I preached it. You can know. I went through all the verses. John 14, you know, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Thomas says, where? Where are you going, Lord? How do we get there? And the Lord said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Yeah. God wants you to know. Right. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Believe on the name of the Son of God. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day. Override that lie of the devil that you can't know. He wants you to not be wondering, doubting, and just fretting when you can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And I just preached it, and I said, this is how you get saved. I got to be very careful as an American. They will follow me in a prayer just to please me, just to make the American happy. So I'm very careful. I want to explain it perfectly. The simplicity. Admit you're a sinner. Believe Christ died for your sins, rose from the dead, and ask him, confess him, and ask him to be your Savior. It's that simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And it's just that simple. And I gave him, I said, you can have your, pray in your own words. Admit you're a sinner. Believe Christ died for your sins, he rose from the dead. Ask him to be your Savior. It's that simple. and then bow head and moment it, and let them pray in their own words. And afterwards, I said, how many of you now know that you'll be in heaven if you die or if the Lord comes back? About 90% of the class. That's a blessing. I'll take that. That's a token. I can serve God on that mountain. He'll be with me. He's not going to forsake me. And he's there all the way. It's his work, man. And he gives us the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to do the work. Man, the Holy Spirit, you know, too often we seem to think that we need to press for the decision. I've been to the Fair Ministry. I know how that goes. I try to be very careful there, too. Try to be very careful. You know, I don't want to press anybody into praying a prayer without any Holy Spirit conviction. Because that's the job of the Holy Spirit, to reprove, rebuke, convict of sin, and to draw all men. You lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll draw all men, and they can get saved. By the Holy Spirit, you got to let him do the work, man. I hope I didn't say anything contrary. If I did, well, if he corrects it, then, you know, that's cool. Go follow him. He's your pastor. Lo, I am with you always. He said, certainly I will be with thee. This shall be a token to thee that I have sent thee. I'll serve God on this mountain. That's what we're going to go back August 24th. You know, he's been good. Psalm 8, somewhere in there, 81, 17. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. A token, a thing serving as a visible or tangible representation of a fact, quality, or feeling. A token. Yeah. Amen. God wants to use you for his glory. Thank you for your support, your prayers. I pray you continue to pray for us. I just never know when this thing's going to be. I still got more time now. But the colostomy is, it's interesting. I could swim with it. I'm thankful. I thought I wouldn't be able to. I like to swim for exercise. You know, after my last treatment, chemo, I was able to do a sprint triathlon. I trained for it while I was going through chemo and radiation therapy. I'm not real fast. Swam 500 yards. That's my strong suit. 12-mile bike ride, then a 5K. It took me about 2 hours, hour and some minutes, right? Close to 2 hours. And I was second in my age group. There was only two of us. But I wasn't last overall. So, and I did a buff. We did a run of 5K in south of Flathead Lake in St. Ignatius. And I was second again in my age group. This time there were three, so I'm getting better. Thanks for your time. I hope that was a blessing to you, Pastor.